If you are an entrepreneur, a small business owner, or even if you have a side gig, let me introduce you to Grasshopper, the entrepreneur's phone system. Grasshopper lets you send and receive calls and texts from your new business phone number. That way you can run your business from anywhere and respond to clients quickly with Grasshopper's mobile apps. Greg, with Courts of Thunder taking off the website, you might need some Grasshopper action, young entrepreneur that you are. Anyway, Grasshopper, sign up today. Go to grasshopper.com/around to get $20 off your first month. That's grasshopper.com/around. And while we're here, oh my God, the future is coming. The future is coming. Make it brighter with Squarespace. Squarespace makes it easier to turn your idea into a unique
Skeletor's mother.
Showcase your work, blog, or publish content, even sell products and services of all kinds in just a few clicks. You can customize everything from look and feel to settings and products. By the way, it was website is what we were looking for, website. Using beautiful templates created by world-class designers, and there's nothing to install, patch, or upgrade ever. Head to squarespace.com for a free trial, and when you're ready to launch, use the offer code AROUND to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. Squarespace, baby.
The Around the NFL podcast is working on another quarter banger.
Welcome back to another edition of the Around the NFL podcast. My name is Dan Hansis, and I am joined by a hotel suite filled with heroes, Mark Sessler, Chris Wessling, and Greg Rosenthal. What's up, boys?
Hey, Dan.
Beautiful sea breeze rolling in on us as we speak.
The first podcast.
Well, not a sea breeze, but
we've ever taped with a big backing and a beautiful lake.
Puddle breeze.
Like a lake. The sea is the
ocean.
Are we
not near the sea?
It's a lake breeze.
I know we're in Florida. That's all I know.
Like the sea is, unless I'm incorrect, the sea is the ocean.
I've done so little research on where Orlando is in Florida. I'm sure you are correct.
I went running around this area, and there's a lot of like
Central
happy
Florida.
Lakes, valley lakes, like little communities where there's some lakes in the middle.
Man-made
lakes.
Yes, here we are at the NFL's annual meeting, also known as the owners meetings, coming live from room 105 here at the beautiful Ritz. Oh, classy. Mama, you'd be proud of me. I talked to her today. She is proud of me. So well, cool.
We're staying at the JW, which is right next door.
Not necessary to point that out. Lindsay Fulton, our producer, not even staying on the grounds, and she's working through that emotionally.
Unfair.
We're actually camping out at the KOA campgrounds. We got a tent.
I can't wait until you can buy this place.
One oh, day. Yeah.
Oh, that's all true. That Bitcoin.
You'll have your revenge.
Cash in that Bitcoin. Millions of dollars.
Very well invested.
So this is great. We have a very interesting and different show today, Monday, and we will have another show coming at you Tuesday from the owners' meetings, and then another show later in the week on Thursday. But you're going to hear from a lot of superstars. Superstars like... Oh, yeah, Matt Nagy? Did I mention Mr. Orchard Park hero Frank Reich? And don't you forget, don't you dare forget, Adam Gase. Anybody else today? That's today's slate, right?
I think
today.
It's a pretty full slate.
Yeah,
today.
So you're going to... Yeah,
the little intro to the show is a quarter banger. This is a double banger, this show and tomorrow's show.
This is a heavy-duty banger, I would call it. So, yeah, we were staying at a beautiful resort, and, you know, there's pool time, there's some nice restaurants. We went to a nice Italian restaurant last night, and we'll be meeting up with some NFL media colleagues. Tomorrow's show, you'll hear from Rap Sheet. He'll be back with some whispers and some more coaches and GMs. So big, heavy show, a banger, a double banger coming up. Who's excited? Mark, you excited?
I am very excited. It is an incredible scene. Honestly, when we were walking around today, I walked away from you guys, went to a restaurant, went back to my room. Matt Patricia, Doug Peterson, Saul Rapsheet, and Albert Breer, and a bunch of others walk. Every 4 or 5 feet, there's some sort of luminary. There's wags floating around all over the place. It's quite a scene.
It's the only place you'll see families, you know, of like an owner, general manager playing football out on the lawn. Like,
yeah.
That's just not something you would normally
I saw one coach yelling at his kids in the pool here, like, get out of the water! Get out of the water! Can't tell you who it was. Also, yeah, the stars are everywhere. The stars are out. When we just had a lunch at a comically hipsterized eatery that we won't say where that is either, but it was a regrettable meal. And here I see Mike Tirico strolling through the restaurant. I almost stopped. I almost said, "Hey, we're the podcast that's been clogging your mentions for about a year straight. I'm a big fan. Can I get a picture?" But I chickened out. And I regret it.
You know, the one other owners meeting that I came to, there was a media party, and Tirico was holding court the entire time. I thought, if only
not
Dan could be here.
You can meet him on a more even level. I mean, you're a host. He's a host. You don't need to be taking pictures.
That's what you should say when you walk up to him. Buddy. You're a host. I'm a host.
It might have been your only shot, though.
It could have been.
Sometimes you got to swing for the fences on those situations.
So there you go. We're going to a big show. You're going to hear our conversation starting with the new coach of the Chicago Bears, Matt Nagy. And we get to that right away and get to the bottom of the pronunciation saga that has gripped the nation since January. All right, let's listen in around the NFL podcast from the owners' meetings. All right, here we are, room 105. The new head coach of the Chicago Bears, Matt Nagy. What's up, Matt?
How you guys doing?
Doing good.
Great.
Good. How are you?
Welcome to the... Are you cool with your intro music?
Oh, yeah. I like it. That's sweet. That's sweet.
We tried to pick something out for each coach that really speaks to his personality. So this is what we chose for you.
Little EDM. Yeah.
This is why you don't trust Wikipedia. Like, the first thing in your line was, huge fan of electronic dance music. right off the top, and I know this has come up, but I want us to be, like, the source for the knowledge here. The buck stops here. Nagy v. Nagy.
Both.
Okay. I got to hold your feet to the fire here a little bit, Matt, because there has to be one way someone in your bloodline would be upset, right? If it wasn't pronounced the way that at some point it was deemed one way or the other, right?
What does your family say?
Well, they'll say both.
Okay.
Oh, wow. Yeah, really, so it's kind of fascinating.
You weren't ready for that one, were you?
High school was Nagy. College was Nagy.
Right.
So
my name's Hanzus, but everyone in the office for 7 years calls me Hanzus, and I just stopped correcting people.
That's it.
So maybe it's a
That's
similar
it.
Well,
thing.
We've struggled with this. We've talked about it because we need to pick one and stick to it as a podcast. So at least would you like...
Yeah, go with Nagy.
Nagy.
Yeah, there we go.
Okay, all right. There we go. That's settled. Listen up, society. All right. How has it been so far? We were talking about right before we started, the coach's picture is coming up later, and that we love the coach's picture every year. I feel like I've written about it on NFL.com several times. It's just a fascinating artifact of the times. That's almost, to me, like the moment a new head coach arrives is when you're in that picture. Any nerves about that?
No nerves. Just excited to see the what kind of Tommy Bahama shirt Coach Reed's going to be wearing. You know, it's I've grown up through the years here being able to see that picture over time, and it's funny going back, just again being close with Brad Childress as well, who's been in those pictures, and it's intriguing getting to see some of the hair loss that goes on for these coaches to actually make it and that. But no, it'll be exciting, and in all honesty, it'll be fun to be able to be in that picture for the first time, and pretty special day for me.
Has there been kind of a moment, you know, since you got the job that you sort of said to yourself, like, wow, you know, I'm a head coach. This is real.
You know what? There is.
Besides right now.
Yeah, exactly. In the mornings in my office, right when that sun is rising and you just kind of look out there on the practice field and it's quiet and no one, you know, no one's been into your office yet to kind of bother you or need something. And you kind of sit right there and you take it all in and you realize where you're at and you know, the Chicago Bears. And before that, in the morning when you're walking in and you see that statue of George S. Halas pointing, and just the history and the tradition that goes along with this team is really cool. And so for me, that'll never stop. Hmm.
And, you know, the Bears for a long time, I think their fan base has struggled with a pretty unwatchable offense. It's for as long as we've been doing our show, it's been hard to talk about the Bears offense.
Not the most exciting team in recent years.
No, but it seems like you guys are creating a lot of change. I just look at what you've done around Mitchell Trubisky when you're adding some wide receiver help. Have you looked at teams like the Eagles, maybe like the Rams, as sort of a blueprint on how you want to build around your quarterback? Or do you come in with your own total idea when you add a Taylor Gabriel, players around Mitchell Trubisky? What's the philosophy on what you wanted to do this offseason?
Well, it's a good question. I mean, it's easy to say that that's the direction we're going to go because there's so many similarities, you know, between those teams and between what we have with the young quarterback and offensive-minded head coach. But at the same time, we want to make this our own team, which we're going to do. But, you know, Doug's done a great job in Philadelphia. And just to see what he did and how that came to fruition this year, the injuries, the adversity, that's the biggest thing, is that team went through a lot of adversity. And so they stuck together as a group of guys, as an organization that believed in one another. And to me, coming into this role for the first time, is that's where it starts, is inevitably something bad is going to happen. You're going to lose some games. You're going to drop some footballs. You're going to go on a streak that you don't want to be on, whether it is losing a game or whether it's losing your quarterback. And how do you stick together? They did that, and they won the Super Bowl. So that's kind of the blueprint that we want to focus with in Chicago.
And Mitch Trubisky came into the league, just 13 college starts, got some work last year. What have you seen when you study that tape that gets you excited that this guy could be a franchise passer?
Well, he grew from his first start to his last start. He grew, and that's all you can ask for. There's different routes now that these teams go into with what we had in Kansas City last year with Patrick, where you sit for a year, or you go the route where you get the guy some hands-on experience and you get to play for 12 games in his case. So for him, seeing on tape that he was able to grow as a quarterback and then also have Coach Dave Ragone as our quarterback coach be able to kind of tell me how he grew as a person and how he grew in the hallways and in the classroom is what I'm really looking forward to seeing that keep going, you know. So it's going to be a challenge for him, and we're going to throw a lot on his plate, but he'll do well with it.
You know, going back a few years ago, I thought one of the most interesting, fascinating, colorful guys in the draft was Kevin White. And I interviewed him after the draft. I was so excited about his future. What are the expectations for him? He almost seems like an afterthought now with everything you've added on offense.
Yeah, so Kevin did come in here with a lot of expectations. That happens when you're a first-round pick. And so anybody that talks to him or even Kevin himself, he'll tell you, you know, hey, this isn't where he wants to be. He wants to be better. So this is a good start. This will be a fresh start for him to be able to come into this offense. We'll keep it simple in regards to just let him play one position and just get rid of all the clutter. Forget the past. Let's come in here with a new start and let's get that confidence back. And physically, he's very talented. He can do a lot of things.
He looks like he's working out like a madman.
Yeah, I saw that. Yeah, that's impressive. But that's the best part, is you get guys like him that maybe haven't lived up to what they were quote-unquote supposed to live up to, and he's still young. So I challenge our coaching staff to get the Kevin Whites of the world to where they need to be, and when that happens now, it's a beautiful thing.
Was there a part of you when Andy Reid was quoted late last season that you are maybe the best head coaching candidate he's ever coached? Was there a part of you that heard that? It was like, whoa, maybe calm down there.
He's like, could he at least been like,
man, that's a lot.
Top 20 or something would have been good. It's like, not too much expectation.
And then my guy Doug goes on and wins the Super Bowl. So, it's humbling. And that just goes to show the relationship that Coach and I have. It'll never change. I've learned so much from Coach from the first day I stepped into that building in Philadelphia at the NovaCare to when I left and gave him a big hug and just said thank you when I left Kansas City. And so we'll always stay in contact. I'll be calling him and texting him all the time for advice. He's a special person, and so for him to make that comment, it means a lot. But at the same time, I got a ways to go.
Yeah, is there like for people that don't know him, like what is it about Andy Reid maybe that he's inspired, I guess, for lack of a better word, you know, so many different people around the league, that there's so many guys around here that have been influenced by him.
Well, he's a teacher. And people don't understand that. They see the guy on the sidelines on Sunday, but from Monday to Saturday in that building, he's a teacher, and he teaches with extreme detail. And he cares genuinely for everybody in that building. There's a care and a concern for each of those guys, not just as players, but as people. That goes a long way. And you talk to any player that goes through that plays on his teams, they realize that this guy really cares for me. Now, he's going to be hard on me at times, and he's going to check me, and he's going to make me accountable, but he's also going to make himself accountable. And you saw that last year when we struggled a little bit for coach to go ahead and pass the play calling duties on to me. Number one, that shows everybody in that building that he looks at himself first, and he doesn't just say that. And so there's that mutual respect instantly. And then he demands that from his coaching staff as well.
All right, Matt, here we go. Now it is time for our speed round, our famous speed round. I'm sure you've heard of it before. 8 o'clock delight. You ready?
Let's go.
Best Michael Jackson song.
Thriller.
Did they fix the catch rule?
Yes.
True or false, Blue Moon beer actually tastes like salami juice?
False.
Would you give up a pinky toe if it guaranteed you a Lombardi trophy in 6 years?
100%.
A thumb?
100%.
Wow. The Greatest Generation, accurate nickname or needlessly braggy?
Accurate nickname.
Seriously, though, what's up with these kids today?
Spoiled.
Biggie or Tupac?
Biggie.
Friends or Seinfeld?
Friends.
More masculine, changing a tire or opening a jar?
Tire.
Have you ever hitchhiked? Have you ever picked up a hitchhiker?
Close.
Interesting. Did the internet make the world a better place?
Yes.
Beach volleyball. That seems fun.
Love it.
Should Barry Bonds be in the Hall of Fame?
Yes.
Sopranos or Mad Men?
Sopranos.
Best Tom Petty song?
Some American girl. Yeah.
Do you wear cologne?
Yes.
Last question. Best Steven Seagal movie?
I am the worst with movies.
Hard to Kill is the answer.
Yeah, I don't know.
Out of time.
There is an answer to that.
Sorry, you were doing great there until the end. But,
Matt Nagy, best of luck to you this season. The Bears are an exciting team. We're excited to see what happens next, and good luck.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Matt.
All right, there he is, Matt Nagy. And that was the crazy thing about the conversation. I told him, I'm going to put your feet to the fire, and I came out of it still not knowing how to pronounce the name. I think he might have been trolling.
He's been asked the question so many times that he seems... Well, yes. Right away, people are like, how do you pronounce this?
Yeah, but everyone else has moved on except for
they
us.
They all have moved on.
Right. Dan is the Woodward and the Bernstein of this situation.
He seems extremely flexible with his surname. Not a normal thing, I think. Abnormal.
Very likable. The guy we walked out of the room and we were like, oh, that was fun. What a good talk.
I like Nagy a lot, and I think he's a laid-back guy, and I think, you get the idea... The fresh start is real in Chicago, and I think he's a breath of fresh air. I mean, even though Roto World is down on John Fox, I think Fox is still like a good dude, maybe just not the right fit there, but Nagy's like, it's new.
That was maybe the one dicey moment of the interview is when Mark mentioned how unwatchable the Bears were last
look,
year.
I think anyone...
In a little look, you were absolutely speaking the truth, but for a second, there was a look on Matt's face that was like, where's he going
also,
with this? You brought it back around.
Behind me, I heard a thud. It was the PR guy.
What I was trying to do was show, you instill hope in this fan base, Mr. New Coach, and I think he does.
All right, well, there you go. So that was Nagy, and then we move on now, and we're going to now look at the Indianapolis Colts. And Frank Reich, who came in. Frank Reich, a big man.
Big dude. NFL quarterback-sized.
Quarterback-sized. And we talked to Frank all about, his heroism in Western New York and his new start in Indy. So let's hear what he had to say. All right. Up next, he is a legend in Western New York. And now he's in the hope business in Indianapolis. It's Frank Reich. Frank, how you doing? Welcome.
Hey,
around the NFL podcast.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
How are you? How are you liking this head coach life so far?
You know what? It's great. Great to have the opportunity in Indianapolis, where I've coached before, so know the city. Walk into a building where you know the people in the building. Not many players left from when I was there, but excited to get to work.
Do you ever, at NFL Network, obviously they're playing the old games all the time. and the comeback comes on nonstop. I know you've been asked about it endlessly, but do you ever just sit back, maybe in your living room when that thing's playing, and say, I am the man. I pulled that thing off. Like that, historic.
I've tried to tell that to my wife, okay. But I'm still trying to, we're still working on that. No, you know what, I really don't think about it too much. And, you know, it's just a question of always keeping your eyes forward. That's one of the great things about this business, that you can appreciate it. And when I see my old teammates, now that is a lot of fun.
There you go.
That is a blast. Now, when you see your old teammates and you get to talking about that for a little bit. But, you know, being in this business where we're at right now, that does not get to happen sometimes as often as you'd like.
Well, with like DVRs now, you could just always keep it saved on your TV just in case. And then just whenever you get in trouble, just kind of put it on in the background.
Well, people are actually, that's
whenever
true.
You get in trouble?
I'm just saying, just like, you just put it on and then like the family's walking by and you're like, oh yeah, remember that?
Well, I should do that, but people actually are surprised to hear that I still haven't actually ever watched the whole thing start to finish.
That is surprising.
You have one in college too, don't you? One of the biggest comebacks in college history.
We did have one in college in Maryland in '84, so against Miami. But man, that was long time ago now.
So what about this Colts team? Like, how do you feel about, obviously the opportunity kind of came out of nowhere, and are you settled into the job? What is the thing that you're most looking forward to with the Colts?
You know, in this business, if you're a coach, the thing that you look forward to is working with players. That's what it's all about. It's like, you know, now's great. We're transitioning, you know, getting through, you know, going through combine, draft, all that stuff. But really where the building or the excitement and the juice comes into the building is when the players come back into the building, because you got to get in the meeting room. You got to get out in the field. You got to form this bond, this chemistry that just, I get chills even thinking about getting together with a group of guys and wanting to have a common mission. Hey, we're going to turn this thing around. We're going to get it right. Now let's go.
Did you like ever imagine, we were there at the Super Bowl, and you know, I remember you at the podium, and obviously you were sky high. Did you ever imagine in that moment that a few days later you might be leading a team?
No, I didn't. And I mean, it was hard to imagine. The winning of the game was, it was I always thought it would be great, you know, hadn't been there five times previously and lost four as a player and one as a coach. You always wonder what that's going to be like if you get to experience it. And I always thought, hey, I'm a guy, I got a pretty good head on my shoulders. I know this is my aspiration. This is what I'm fighting for every day in this business, to get that, you know, ring and so on and so forth. But I'll kind of keep it cool. I mean, I lost my cool completely when we won that game. I was literally running around the field screaming and yelling my head off. It was a tremendous experience. And then to follow that up, you know, with getting an opportunity to come be the head coach with the Colts was about as good as it could get.
And now you're here, flying high.
Yeah.
With us.
We won the Class C Division co-ed softball title in the city of Los Angeles. back-to-back, actually. No big deal. But I know, and we know that feeling. It's sky high.
There's a parallel.
Well, yeah. No, that's what we do all know. That's why people love sports, because right. I don't care. I mean, I've won things at different levels too, and it is literally the same feeling. It just sometimes is on a bigger scale, but we all can relate.
Yeah, we're all the same. Yes, this is great.
I was walking around calling everybody champion for a while after that. It's exactly how you feel. I totally get it.
We you know, on our podcast, we bet sandwiches sometimes on various football scenarios.
No, they're not bets.
Wager.
Proposition.
I'm constantly corrected on this.
Yes.
But before the Super Bowl, I said that we would come out of that game with a play with a title attached to it that would be bigger than the helmet catch. Now, these guys tell me that the Philly special did not get the job done, that it was not bigger than the helmet
easy
catch.
With the language.
Oh, hold on.
Wasn't that it didn't get the job done?
How about you give us the final answer here? Was it bigger as
the
helmet catch?
The guy who designed the play?
Fair person to weigh in.
Independent arbiter, Mark. Well, we do need an answer, though.
I mean, you know, the Philly special. I granted, the helmet catch is certainly a worthy contender and an ultimate play in Super Bowl history, obviously. But I think the Philly special on a 4th-and-1, you know, on the goal line right there, it was just just how the trickery to it, I think, takes it to another level. And having the guts having the guts to call the play right then and there, I think that's what takes it over the
case
top.
Case closed. Podcast
all
over.
Right. Well, it's been settled. One thing I'm nervous about with the Colts, and a lot of people are, Andrew Luck, okay? Everything else seems to make sense that the Indy is on the rise, but we still don't have any real idea, at least the football cognoscenti, as I call, don't really know if he's going to be on the field. Like, how confident are you week one, Andrew Luck is your quarterback?
I mean, I'm confident, but here's the thing. It does me no good to try to play that game and try to say, what does it matter? I mean, in this business, you learn that you just grind it out each day and you coach the guys that are there. You're hopeful that he's going to be there. You plan that he's going to be there. All the rehab is going, you know, checking off all the boxes. Yep, we hit that stage one, stage two, stage three. It's all been good, but, you know, we'll just have to keep progressing down that road.
But have you imagined kind of, I'm sure you have, but gotten excited thinking about Andrew Luck, obviously seeing his old film, about how he's going to be in your offense?
Oh, my. I can barely contain the excitement. I'm not going to lie. Because, you know, a couple years ago, just watching him play, coming out, and you just know this guy is an elite in every sense of the word. In every aspect, that all the skills and talent and mental capabilities that you need and the physical traits that you need, he's got them all. And so, and then he's got this team first spirit. And I always think that the guys, when you get an elite player who's really a team first player, that's really where you, that can take your organization, your team to another level. And I think he has all those.
Full disclosure, Jets fan my whole life. So in the early 90s, maybe didn't like you as much. Now I like you a lot because now I've grown up and I've matured. Obviously, a little bit. Big trade between the Jets and Colts. To me, it seemed like a trade that works for everyone. And then I'm thinking to myself, if I'm the Colts, that you guys would be in position to maybe acquire more draft capital because this is such a quarterback-hungry draft. You guys, you're not sure you're picking at six, are you?
Well, I mean, that's what to be determined, right? Yeah. And I think, you know, Chris Ballard has done a great job of really setting the lead and setting the tone and what we're going to do there as an organization. And it's been fun to talk about it with him, you know, and what are the plans. And because we do have a quarterback that we believe in and obviously believe is going to be ready to go, I'm thrilled the fact that there's four quarterbacks who are highly touted coming out this year, and I hope they go 1, 2, 3, 4. That'd be great for us. Mm-hmm. So that gives us the opportunity to look at scenarios where normally, you know, trading back 3 to 6, where if you're thinking it's all quarterbacks and we don't need one, then you're really do the math. You really don't have the sixth pick. You really have the, you know, in the same so on. So that might be able to put you in a scenario where you can think about going back one more time. But I think at the end of the day, you know, Chris will pull the trigger if he thinks it's best for the organization.
All right, now's the time. This is the crucible right here. Speed round, 8 o'clock delight. You ready, Frank?
Let's go.
Let's do it. Best Super Bowl halftime show ever.
Michael Jackson.
Tom Brady. You buying this?
His career.
Just buying it. Everything.
Are you in? Are you in on Tom Brady?
I'm in.
I think he's in.
Most embarrassing CD or album in your possession?
Most embarrassing album?
Yeah, like CD music.
Oh, CD. I didn't hear that part. Oh, man.
Pass. Worst way to lose a Super Bowl, chip shot field goal miss or catch rule shenanigans?
Catch rule shenanigans.
Did they fix the catch rule or in the proposed rule?
We'll see.
Why aren't there more good football movies? Weird, right?
It is weird.
Yeah. Did the internet make the world better or worse?
Better.
Beach volleyball. That seems fun.
Yeah, I'm into it.
Jerry Maguire, sports movie or chick flick?
Chick flick.
Are we allowed to say chick flick anymore?
Yes.
Is there intelligent life beyond this planet?
Yes.
Do you believe in the concept of alien abduction?
No.
Is it time to move on from the Gatorade bath? It's had its run.
No, I'm a traditionalist.
Least deserving best picture winner, Crash or Shakespeare in Love?
Pass.
Last show you binge watched?
Oh, I'm not a binge watcher. I'm a coach. I can't binge watch.
Jordan or LeBron?
Jordan.
Well, there you go.
Finish strong.
Isn't that a little?
You finished with the right answer.
I think I got about a C grade on that.
That's
on that
why
test.
I called it a right answer.
Yeah, it is
please.
A crucible. I'm not so good at that.
I thought you did great, Frank, and we're very excited to see what happens next with the Colts. Hopefully, with your quarterback behind center and healthy, because it'll be a lot of fun to see Frank Reich and Andrew Luck working together.
Yeah. I appreciate it, guys. Right.
Thanks, Frank.
All right. So there you go, Frank Reich.
So even though he told us that he doesn't watch that comeback victory, Mark has privately assured us that Frank Reich is sitting at home watching it.
The Mark's tone when we were talking about it right after the interview, he's like, oh, it's definitely a fact that he watches it.
I just think it would have been number one. Whoa. That wasn't his last runaround with the Bills. Your job after a playoff game, is to sit down and review all tape. I just would imagine that he has watched it, but he told us he hadn't, so I must take him at his word, I guess.
Well, you didn't.
Why would I? Why should I be sitting here saying he didn't?
Well, we should.
You
take
seem
you...
very confident that he was lying.
Forget
to us.
What I said.
So we shouldn't take you at your word from 2 hours ago.
No.
You could see how we're in a difficult situation.
And to put that on the public airwaves helps. I'm sure. Hopefully, the Bills PR will be zoning in on this.
And the other thing about Reich, straight shooter. Football coach all the way.
Yeah.
The look that Frank gave me when I asked him the Tom Brady question in the speed round, I've never seen a man look through me like that. He was processing.
I love happened. Tom Brady.
Tom Brady.
You know.
You buying?
That was the closest I've ever been to throwing a life raft to somebody in an interview. He needed it.
So Frank Reich there with the Colts, and he did.
If any future coaches, you know, on tomorrow's show are listening, you know, yeah, you're buying Tom Brady. That's a good answer.
Absolutely. And he did. I asked the Andrew Luck question. He's answering the same way the Colts have been answering forever. Nobody can say with absolute clarity he's our quarterback.
But they're all excited to work with him.
Yeah, everyone's excited to work with Andrew Luck. We just don't know if he will be working with us.
There's definitely a party line on that quarterback situation, and it doesn't seem like it's going to change. I do think, though, even though there was a time when Colts fans thought we're getting Josh McDaniels, I really continue to think this might be a blessing in disguise. Frank Reich, maybe he didn't know how to answer his favorite CD or record or whatever, but he is
not a Game
all
of Thrones guy.
In on football. The guy is like, he's so excited to coach and coach players. I really think Frank Reich is going to surprise Colts fans.
Are you calling him a lifer, Mark?
He is that, though. Like, all these coaches, come on, I know you're making fun of that, but it's like he's a football coach speak machine. But he's sort of, I buy it with him.
All right, good.
I'm done talking. Go.
I would say that it's not even coach speak.
I just think that's who he's always sort of been.
He's 100% football.
There's like 14 pools, by the way, on this giant resort, which basically covers a county, like a small city, is the size of these grounds. And none of us brought the Speedos. No Speedos in a suitcase. What a missed opportunity.
I did sit out by the pool, though, yesterday.
Shirt off?
No, I did not.
What did you witness?
Take my shirt off.
I brought trunks.
It was some a mix of families, and there was some spring break. There was like a lazy river with people going down it, some beers. I mean, it was rocking.
What would it take for me to see you with your shirt off this weekend?
This weekend?
Yeah.
This is to Greg, by the way.
$20?
Open question to anybody here.
Money. $20.
I'd do it for free.
10.
During this trip.
Yeah, I mean, I'd pay you to see me without my shirt on.
Very interesting. All right. Moving on. That was very interesting.
I'm trying to up the ante from Wes. He went free. I mean, I got to make it a better deal than Wes. So.
That's true. All right. Moving on. Finally. Our final guest on today's show. And again, a reminder, more coming tomorrow, including our boy, Andy Reid, one of the top coaches in the game, entering his 20th season as a head coach. That's crazy. But first, a man who was once an offensive coordinator in the Peyton Manning heyday. He then leveraged that move, that gig, into the head coaching job for the Miami Dolphins. He's entering his third year under potentially difficult circumstances. We talked to Adam Gase about the plan ahead and the challenge ahead for his Miami Dolphins. All right, up next in Hotel Suite. All right, it's just a regular room. 105, the head coach of the Miami Dolphins. See, we're very honest with our audience, Adam. So right off the bat, you should feel comfortable. The head coach of the Miami Dolphins, Adam Gase.
What am I, at a club?
Yeah. Adam making a very quizzical face. We thought, what says Adam Gase?
House
music.
Struck out.
Yeah, obviously in Miami, the nightlife. Worried about that in general?
We're more in Davie, Fort Lauderdale area.
That's true.
Not quite South Beach.
Right, but so do you ever maybe get into a disguise, maybe head out to one of the clubs just to see what the youth are up to? Like in Miami? No?
No.
I thought maybe.
It would not be a good scene for me.
Weird.
Okay. You've got a family.
Yeah.
But anyway, so Adam Gase is with us, third year with the Dolphins. And is this the year that Tom Brady goes away and some other team in the AFC East rises up?
I'm not going to say that. You know, I think, you know, watching Tom Brady for as long, you know, I mean, I think we graduated the same year.
Wow.
In college.
Oh, wow.
So, you know, we were both seniors the same, you know, same year. And, you know, obviously he gets drafted and I went to go work at LSU. And just watching him over the years, it's unbelievable. And he gets better and better. It's awesome to watch when you're not playing him.
Yeah.
You know, when you're playing him, you know, you try to do everything you can to disrupt him. It just doesn't always work.
One thing I've wondered, this, you're entering your third year now as a head coach. Like, what is the difference emotionally between being the coordinator and being a head coach?
That's a good question. I guess I never thought of that.
Because you're a guy, I think, that sometimes you like to wear your emotions, you wear your emotions on your sleeves.
Yeah, that sometimes you try to hide it. It's hard to.
Feel free to go nuts on Mark.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think that's a bad thing. Like, coaches throughout NFL history.
I miss that.
Almost more the norm, but now it's sort of more the trend that coaches keep it under wraps. But a lot of great coaches in history wear their emotions on their sleeves.
I think a lot of the times if something good or bad happens, you're trying not to be over the top, you know, either way, because you know there's a long way to go. And especially in this league, everything comes down to the last 5 minutes of the game. So you just can't get too high, too low. You try to stay even keel. It's tough, though, because you sometimes you really want to go one way or the other. But, you know, your players are trying to do the same thing. They're trying to make sure that they stay, you know, even level to where they can keep competing through the whole game.
And when you were, I mean, you were a coordinator. You famously were texting Peyton Manning late at night. I'd love to know more about like those conversations, what went on there. But as a head coach,
emoji game?
Adam's like, when will this end at some point?
My Yahoo account deleted almost all my
there you go.
All my voice memos that I had saved. But
as a head coach, do you really keep one-on-one touch with the players during the season that way, with that sort of intimacy?
It's different for every player. It depends what position you are. You know, when you're going during the season, you know, our hours are different. When we're with the players, you know, we're working with them, whether it be installing practice, watching tape. And, you know, when myself or the coaches on the staff, when you have a chance to actually watch film on your own, then all of a sudden you might see something you want to remind one of your players, you don't want to forget.
Right.
And it's so easy to be able to text a guy and say, like, hey, just remember, hey, take a look at this play, or hey, what do you think of this? And just get their opinion, because those are the guys that are doing it. Mm-hmm. And I love when I get great feedback of, oh, I love that idea, or I don't know if that's for me. I mean, at least you know you want to put the guys in the best position possible.
That might be getting an edge on Belichick. I don't know if he's texting his players, you know?
You never
know. You can use technology to your
advantage.
You
never know. He's not going to tell you, so, I mean, he might be.
What does he call it, my face?
Yeah, he always
says. When you first get your head coaching job, it takes a while to kind of put your stamp on the team. Now that we're in year three, what would you say is the identity of, like, the Adam Gase Dolphins?
That's a tough question. Hopefully we're developing the kind of team that, you know, figures out the right way to win the game for that week, and being able to, you know, it's tough to explain as far as what we're exactly looking to be, because we've changed a lot of our personnel, and you know, every week is so different. You're playing all these different styles of teams, and you have to be able to morph into what you need to win that game. And hopefully our players are really doing a better job this year than what we did last year.
That's kind of like what Belichick does. Everyone always says he adjusts his game plan to that specific opponent more than most coaches do.
I think a lot of my, you know, beginning of my career was Nick Saban. I think Mike Martz had a big impact on me. And then you look at it, I think Josh McDaniels had a big impact on me. And, you know, two of those guys are, you know, from that tree that has allowed me to kind of learn from those, you know, their experiences.
And you didn't have your starting quarterback. You've been there 2 years, and you didn't have your starting quarterback for one of those 2 years.
Yeah, I think we got 33 games in. He's played 13. So, you know, it'll be great to get him back. You know, not that I kept track of, but, you know, just seeing him around and rehabbing and, you know, seeing his intensity, you can tell he's ready to go. I think last year was tough for him, but he did a great job trying to help guys as much as he could. And, you know, he let Jay be the quarterback. He did a good job of kind of taking a step back, but I could tell it was killing him that he couldn't be out there.
How was the decision-making process of like, okay, he wasn't there all of last year, but hey, this is, you know, our guy? Because right now he is, you know, the quarterback for the Dolphins.
Yeah, I don't think we really had much discussion. We knew that he was going to be our guy. We felt like we had made really big strides the year before, where if he stayed healthy, I'm not really sure how much better we would have got. I mean, he was really – that Arizona game was one of his best games of the year, and unfortunately he got hurt. And, you know, we were looking forward to see what happened.
Do you think we've seen the last of Jay Cutler?
I don't know. I mean, I don't want to
– Did it seem like he still had the fire in the belly after the season?
I don't know if I really talked to him.
Yeah.
About that. You know, that's a tough conversation to have with somebody. It's not as easy as everybody thinks, where you just, you know, walk up to somebody like, hey, you're retiring. Like,
yeah,
that's not easy.
How about this? Do you think he'd be a good announcer?
I think he'd be very cutting. I think he would be very honest.
That's it.
Not want to be a play caller with him announcing a game, because he would absolutely annihilate.
You don't think he would be easier on you, though?
No, after I think he would kill me.
But don't you think that makes a good announcer, though?
Oh, yeah. I think it would be hilarious to watch if you're not the person.
But yeah,
you're kind of the announcer whisperer, maybe, because Peyton Manning getting in the mix potentially for these jobs. You could have Peyton on one network, Jay Cutler.
Yeah, this
you
is
know,
all
next,
bad.
All your guys.
This is all bad for me, because this would be their opportunity to be like, okay, I remember this and I didn't like, and let's make sure that we handle this the right way.
How is it going to change your defense not having Ndamukong Suh there?
Well, I mean, we're still going to have the same style, you know. Matt's going to stick with our, you know, we're going to stay with our wide nine, and we're going to be an attacking front. And, you know, we like some of our young players that a lot of people probably don't really know, that we're looking forward to getting more, you know, get more reps. And we got to see what else we're going to add to the mix here between the end of free agency and the draft. So we'll kind of see how that plays out inside. But I like our defensive ends right now. We're pretty deep there, and adding Robert Quinn. We've got William Hayes back. I'm liking our pass rush, and Charles Harris coming up, and Cam Wake's still, you know, doing his thing. It's unbelievable to watch this guy work day in and day out and play on Sundays, because, you know, he's defying age.
Yeah. As a coach, like, what is your part of the process there? Because Ndamukong Suh is a guy who's still playing very well for you. So as a coach, like, is it kind of hard for you to be part of a decision that's saying, hey, we're saying goodbye to a player who is playing well?
Yeah, I mean, the whole process of all this is, it's not easy, especially, you know, in this day and age. There's a different relationship there. I think it's not so much here's who's in charge and like this hierarchy. I think, you know, players and coaches and everybody's kind of in it together. And it's when somebody leaves, it's tough. I mean, it's tough for everybody. You know, when Mike Pouncey gets released, that's not easy to go through. It's horrible, because that's somebody that this organization has been with, you know, for a long period of time. He's been here, this is what he knows, and he's been trying to do is help this organization win. He's given everything he's had, you know, he has to it. And, you know, when that time comes and we end up doing that, that's a brutal phone call to have to make and have that conversation.
All right, Adam, it's time for our iconic speed round game. It's called 8 o'clock delight. It's the crucible of this interview. Are you ready?
Sure.
Hit it, Lindsay. Jordan or LeBron?
Jordan.
Biggie or Tupac?
Ooh, Tupac.
Friends or Seinfeld?
Seinfeld.
True or false? Game of Thrones is actually stupid.
I don't even know what Game of Thrones is.
Interesting. Greatest SNL cast member of all time.
Ooh.
Chris Farley.
That's a good one. When's the last time you took a nice, relaxing bath?
Never.
Most overrated planet?
I mean, I don't know. Pass.
Favorite animal?
Pass again.
Come on, dolphin at least. You know. a ton of tea.
Are you a fan of the arts and crafts?
No.
Have you ever seen a ghost?
Not that I'm aware of.
Meryl Streep, maybe a bit overrated?
No idea.
One NFL coach, past or present, who scares you?
Bill Cowher.
Mm-hmm. Would you give up a pinky toe if it guaranteed you a Lombardi trophy in 6 years?
100%.
A thumb?
Yes.
A leg?
Yes.
Whoa. Leg. First guy to go leg.
Can the coolest guy on the team be the kicker?
No.
Do you wear cologne?
No.
Best Tom Petty song?
Ooh. Mary Jane.
Oh, he gets it in.
Right under the gun.
Well done.
Beautifully done. And that's a great song.
I know, but I there's probably better ones. That was the first one that popped in my head.
Yeah, that little late
Multiple
period
Multiple coaches petty. Couldn't even pull one out of their head, so you did a great job.
I think...
You're winning.
Yeah.
There we
I
go.
Think, was it Matt Nagy said American Girl? Mm. So all good options. Adam Gates, best of luck. We know what big birthday is coming up, too. We don't have to bring it up, but it's happening, and that's part of life. You just can't stop time. So happy 40th later this month.
Wow.
It was almost going to be dinner with Baker Mayfield on my 40th birthday. Can you imagine that? In Norman, Oklahoma. But we were able to move it up. So.
That would be romantic. Yeah.
It would be great. I'm sure he would enjoy it. Like, bring out the cake.
Well, that's interesting. What were you guys going to talk about? I'm curious.
No, well, we were going to do his workout then, and we had to move some things around, so we were able to get that out of the way already.
They're just big, like, Korean barbecue fans. And
that's
wanted,
it.
Wanted to get out.
Had nothing to do with football. All right, there you go. Adam Gase, best of luck this year.
All right, thanks, guys.
Thanks, Adam.
Let me know what you guys think. I thought he was a very nice guy, interesting guy, and down to earth. But did any of you guys sense the idea that he understands that he's up against it a little bit right now with some of these roster moves and the direction of the franchise, a quarterback coming off an injury, being in year three and kind of having to start over because he lost last year with Tannehill's injury. I feel like you could sense that Gase knows the pressure's on in year three.
Mm. Well, I think so. Dolphins fans agree with you.
Yeah, I think when I asked him about the identity and he couldn't really give us an identity after 2 years, but a lot goes into that, you know, releasing Sue, trading Landry, these guys that he wanted to build around. And, you know, maybe he doesn't want to get rid of them, but the organization does. So that's a challenge that maybe we don't see when we're sitting in the podcast studio that he has to deal with. But, yeah, like, to me, he seems like a guy who 3 years into the job isn't sure what they are yet.
Well, I think that just might be his nature, though. These are just different people, and they have different kind of personality types. And I think he's the type, even if things were going really well, might give off that. You know, that sort of, I like that about him, that he wears kind of emotions on his sleeve. He even sort of did it here. Like, you could see, depending on the question, how he's interpreting it.
If he asks about Game of Thrones, he's going to give you a look. Yeah.
And I like that. I came away from it, I don't know. He's an intriguing NFL personality, and it is a challenging situation. They haven't had sustained success there for a long time, and he knows that, but I give him a chance. Come on.
The nugget that
I'm not giving him a chance. I'm just saying I look in the man's eyes and you get in the room and it's a little different when you're actually talking to him and asking the questions, that it's not easy if you're the head coach of the Dolphins and the organization, the moves they're making right now, it's hard to say they're going necessarily in a forward direction. At best, maybe they're going sideways. I sense that he understands that. It's a tough situation.
Yeah, I think he and you have to be the coach coming out and not throwing people under the bus, but trying to back what the committee of people have agreed to do. And he may not have gotten his way on all those decisions. It was interesting, the nugget at the end where he talked about potentially spending his 40th birthday with Baker Mayfield, because the one thing that could change everything for the Dolphins, and it's not an anti-Tannehill take, but someone like a Baker Mayfield, if he proves to be as exciting a pro player as he was a college player, could take the Dolphins, who have been a somewhat dull team to watch, in my opinion, and completely change the way they are on offense.
They're kind of a sleeper. They're a bit of a sleeper in the first round in this quarterback conversation, but that makes a lot of sense in the world. They've been waiting for 5 years for Tannehill to take off. Now he's got the knee issue, so we'll see what happens. All right. By the way, a message from our sponsor. Support for today's show comes from Squarespace. Oh, Squarespace is all in today. Ready to start your new business? Make it stand out with Squarespace, with beautiful templates created by world-class...
Windmills?
Designers. Squarespace makes it easy. Makes is easy. I mean, guys, we got to make an adjustment to the copy here. To turn your idea into a new and unique website, showcase your work, blog, or publish content, even sell products and services of all kinds in just a few clicks. Greg, where do you stand on Wes and Mark getting on your corner? Fill in the blank.
I like it.
You like it?
Yeah.
You're open to it.
Spread
You're
the wealth.
Passing the torch, if you will.
I think we should all be involved. It's fun.
Windmills and Skeletor's mother, thumbs up.
They came through in a big way.
You can customize everything from look and feel to settings and products, and it's all optimized for mobile right out of the frickin' box. Destiny is calling. Pay attention, Wes. It says you need a new website. Make it with Squarespace. Head to squarespace.com for a free trial. Remember Mr. Destiny? The
is
other
that a
Belushi brother?
Jim Belushi vehicle?
No, it's a
vehicle.
Who's the other Belushi brother?
It's Jim, right?
Oh, there was no. Jim was the SNL star. Wasn't
yeah, Ronnie.
It?
That's oh, Ronnie.
No, you're thinking of
John
Belushi.
Is the John.
Oh, John is the icon.
Is the uber talented one.
Let's work on this offline.
It's like which one of the Belushis is an icon, not Jim.
Dan goes with Jim.
Anyway,
Bizarre stands by you.
Head to squarespace.com for a free trial. When you're ready to launch, use the offer code AROUND to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. That's squarespace.com, offer code AROUND. Okay, as we said, next time you hear from us will be Tuesday, and we're going to have a lot of good guests. We had a couple new guests, actually. General manager of the surging Los Angeles Rams, Les Snead. I feel like Les would be into it, actually.
He's on the LA scene. He's mere miles away from the downtown rave.
Yes.
You know, scenario. I could see it.
Yeah. Well, we'll talk to Andy Reid. We'll talk to a Khan family member connected to the Jacksonville Jaguars. How about that?
Tony Khan.
That's Tony. I was maybe it's the owner. But Tony, we're happy to have Tony as well.
Aga Khan.
John Harbaugh, another famous family.
John Harbaugh, a Super Bowl winning coach.
All these people went on Tuesday, but we'll be rolling these out the rest of the week.
Yeah, so we're very excited. And of course, as I said earlier, Rap Sheet will come and do the news with us. So a lot of fun. We're happy to be here. Mark's itching to get by that pool, rip that shirt off. He said, listen, I worked hard for this body. I've given up meats for a reason. That is for my body.
Not working so hard of late, but I will get back on that.
All right, so there you go. This is Dan Hansen signing off for A Quiet Storm. The mailman, the old boss, and Lindsay Fulton behind the glass. Oh, my goodness. We're in paradise. It's Orlando, baby. Till Tuesday.